It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
As per coalition agreements, ACT Party leader David Seymour has been sworn in as Deputy Prime Minister, taking over from New Zealand First leader Winston Peters. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the ACT Party's Simon Court about Seymour's new position and what this means for the party. We also discussed accusations Seymour made regarding submissions to the Regulatory Standards Bill. In an interview with Guyon Espiner, Seymour claimed that 99.5% of submissions against the Regulatory Standards Bill were driven by bots and were fake submissions. Seymour later clarified to RNZ that by bots, he was meaning online campaigns, creating non-representative samples that do not represent the public's opinion. The Ministry of Regulations received roughly 23,000 submissions on the bill. Of these submissions, 0.33% were fully or partially supporting of the bill, with 88% being against the bill. Finally, we discussed the recommended suspension of Te Pāti Māori's MPs Debbie Ngāre Wapaka, Rāwiri Waititi and Hana Rāti Maipi Clark standing. But first, we discussed David Seymour as Deputy Prime Minister. How is the party feeling now that Seymour is Deputy Prime Minister?
Well, David has been working really hard in his roles as Minister for Regulation and Associate Minister of Education, making sure that the kids get their school lunches on time. And this new role means that he is now likely to be more often standing in for the Prime Minister when the Prime Minister is away overseas. But it's not something that that is the kind of role that is going to give David Seymour any more power or authority. Unfortunately, for some of our supporters who think it means he's going to be now half in control of the country, we just go through our normal, party processes, government coalition processes. But with David, more often than he has been in the past standing in for the Prime Minister. And just note that he has done this on at least three occasions in the past when both the Prime Minister and previous Deputy Prime Minister were overseas.
Could David Seymour now as Deputy Prime Minister have an impact on the Coalition's chance of a re-election and ACT's chance of a re-election into government?
Well, that's not something that typically comes with the role of Deputy Prime Minister unless you really cock something up. But I think what David has shown by achieving this role of Deputy Prime Minister, he's actually embodying the Kiwi spirit that ACT represents and champions. He has worked hard, he has stuck to his values, and he's shown that he can achieve more than anyone could have thought when he was one MP. He's brought 11 MPs into Parliament. He's got six of those in the executive as Cabinet Minister, as Undersecretary, which is my role. And I'm sure that he's going to continue just to demonstrate those values and that approach in this new role that he's taken on.
Keeping to David Seymour here a little bit, Seymour alleged that bots drove fake submissions in opposing the Regulatory Standards Bill. In an interview with Guyon Espiner, he said 99.5% of submissions were bots. What evidence does Seymour have to make this claim?
Well, it's pretty obvious from the interview that David was referring to the online campaigns that flooded TikTok and Instagram, largely powered by misinformation about the bill. But what's been really bizarre is watching journalists like Radio New Zealand try to pretend they don't know what he was talking about. He was talking about form submissions, which are essentially large numbers of submissions either developed by a template or with content provided by third parties. And so, I think it's not just a beat up, it's disinformation, what they're saying about David's comments. He was clearly talking about form submissions. And the thing is, the bill is actually trying to insist that the New Zealand Parliament and government make better laws, which you can't really understand. Standing in Parliament, as I often do, hearing some of the debate, I can't understand why any New Zealanders would object to this. But, the bill sets a series of principles for creating good law and creates a watchdog board to check whether the laws that are being proposed are actually going to do what they say they will. It also shines a light on existing bad regulations and requires government departments to go through and look at the legislation they operate under to work out whether it's still fit for purpose. I mean, we've got laws going back to the 1920s or earlier, which government departments are still required to comply with, and whether they do or not, how would they know? And it actually makes lawmakers explain themselves to the people who affect them, either affect their property or affect their business. But I think a lot of the opposition to the regulatory standards bill has been driven by fear-mongering and by misinformation about those who are simply opposed to what David Seymour and the ACT Party stand for, which is better regulation and better financial management on behalf of taxpayers and so, you know, consumers and, you know, tradies and everyone who's working out there just get on with their lives with minimal government interference.
Speaking more to those form submissions you mentioned earlier, Action Station Director Casey Hartendorp says the organisation and other campaigning organisations across the political spectrum have created templates, as you just said, to help make the submission process more accessible. Hartendorp says this is just Seymour discrediting opposition to this bill. What do you have to say about this?
Well, you know, if Action Station could actually provide a reason what was wrong with the bill, maybe that would be a helpful submission. But simply whipping people up into a frenzy to oppose something the government's doing because, you know, they don't understand it. The people making submissions are simply copying, you know, whatever Action Station or these other activist groups have said they should copy and paste. That's not helpful to the lawmaking process. You know, I've sat on many, many select committees inquiring into different bills under when, you know, Labor and Greens were in power, and now I still sit on Environment Committee as Under Secretary for Resource Management Reform and as a member of Parliament. And what we do hear from all groups is that they want the government to make good laws that actually work, and when the legislation is passed, that there's some monitoring and follow-up to make sure that what the government said it would do and what the legislation is actually doing is having effect. Now, that is the typical kind of comment you get on legislation, no matter what the legislation is and who's in government. And, you know, if Action Station thinks they can contribute to better lawmaking, then I look forward to reading their submission.
Despite a significant majority of submissions expressing concerns over the bill, there were submissions fully or partially in support of the Regulatory Standards Bill. Does Seymour's claim include those in support as well?
I'm not sure what the select committee, what the breakdown of submissions is, because I don't sit on that select committee, but I imagine that there will be a number in support, including those from people who have said this is long overdue. It's the missing link in the New Zealand regulatory monitoring system. We have a financial tool, it's called the Public Finance Act, which says how governments are meant to spend money in a transparent way so that Parliament and the public can be confident that governments aren't misspending the tax money that they collect. But when it comes to making laws, whether those laws are working and effective or not, the regulatory monitoring part of our system is missing, and that's what the Regulatory Standards Bill is meant to do. It's been proposed as far back as the mid-1990s. I think it's fantastic that we're finally getting to implement this legislation. It's going to make for better lawmaking. Kiwis are going to have simpler lives as a result of government being more efficient in the way that they manage government obligations.
Could those partially or fully in support of the bill also be misled by misinformation, as what you said, comparing to those opposing the Regulatory Standards Bill?
I highly doubt it. I've read detailed evidence-backed papers going back to the mid-1990s, which demonstrate why this is a necessary complementary piece of legislation to the Public Finance Act. So essentially we have a good public regulatory processes so that we're making good laws that actually work. I would be surprised if there is any coherent opposition to that. That could frame up why such a piece of legislation is unnecessary. I'm sure that the people in support of the bill have read the same papers and seen the same evidence that I have.
Finally, the recommended suspension for Te Pāti Māori MPs Debbie Ngāruapaka, Rāwiri Waititi and Hana Rafti Maipi Clark have held. This is Parliament's harshest sentence in the country's history. How are the ACT Party feeling about this vote?
Well, I think all things considered, they got off pretty lightly. And, you know, maybe the punishment should instead have been making them turn up for 21 days, given they didn't bother showing up for the vote on the budget or debate much of the budget at all after Parliament postponed the suspension so they could actually take part. What we've seen from Te Pāti Māori MPs, from Debbie Aruapeka and Rauru Waititi in particular, is that they breached the conditions of Parliament, refused to show up for the hearing, and then leaked contents of select committee proceedings to try to further mock our Parliament. And so I think the punishment is entirely appropriate.
Te Pāti Māori President John Tamihere told RNZ's Morning Report that the MPs would apologise once there was more clarity over why they should be apologising. Co-leader Rauri Waititi also shared a similar note, saying it was unclear on whether the punishment was around the haka or the alleged gun gestures. What more could have been done to clarify why the MPs are facing such a long suspension?
Well, if they turned up, they might have, to a privileges committee, they might have had a clear understanding about what the problem was. They interrupted a vote of Parliament. They left their seats and moved towards other members of Parliament in an intimidatory manner, and they fully intended to disrupt the vote. So the Parliament, the privileges committee recommendation and Parliament's decision is entirely appropriate given that behaviour. And it just shows you, what are these people here for? If Tamihere, who was a member of Parliament, he's a lawyer, he served under Helen Clark's Labor government, and the current Te Pāti members of Parliament don't understand what they did wrong, then their voters should seriously be questioning whether they are worth voting for next time around.
Lastly here, during the debate, New Zealand First leader Winston Peters referred to Waititi's moko konohi as scribbles on his face. Despite apologising, should Peters not face more repercussions for this comment?
Winston can speak for himself on those comments, but ACT's contribution to the debate came from three incredible women, Paramjit Palmer, Nicole McKee, and Karen Chaw. And what's really disappointing is we haven't heard anyone calling out the hateful and disgusting language that Te Pāti Māori have used against those three MPs. One of them's told Paramjit to go back to India. They've said Karen doesn't understand the essence of being Māori or suggesting she's somehow subject to the will of her masters. It's absolutely disgusting. And, I've sat next to Te Pāti Māori for 18 months. I've heard many interjections that haven't been picked up on microphones that most New Zealanders would find appalling.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court on David Seymour being sworn in as Deputy Prime Minister. Seymour's claims that bots drove fake submissions against the Regulatory Standards Bill and the suspension into Te Pāti Māori MPs.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.